Christmas is a night that's full of surprises. Even the cynics among us take a holiday, and the stoics suspend their disbelief. Straw shines like gold, a stable harbors heaven, and God pitches his tent in a little human family that could have been yours or mine. God is born among us at Christmas, and now anything is possible, if only for this moment. Finally, the night we've been waiting for has come, and if you're like me, on some level, the miracle of it surprises you every year. It's earthy and pure at once, darkness and light quietly shimmering, and surely it's at odds with what the culture would have us believe. Do you remember how the story goes? Every who down in Whoville, the tall and the small, was singing without any presence at all. He hadn't stopped Christmas from coming. It came somehow or other. It came just the same. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. It comes. And Christmas Day will always be as long as God has us and we have we. Tonight's miracle is that wherever we may run and hide, and again, if you're like me, you spent some time running and hiding. Wherever you may run and hide, God will come looking for us, Grinch or not. Whatever weakness or wound which threatens to overcome us, God can heal it where we least expect such amending. Whatever hungering darkness or meanness or jealousy or fear or anger or sadness we might nurture, God's light can scatter it despite all our claims to the contrary. God's spirit of justice and inclusion, of welcome and wonder, well, that spirit will be born. This piercing starlight makes me wonder if Joseph ever whispered in Mary's ear during her surprising pregnancy, "Don't be afraid. I believe in you," he might have said, probably reassuring himself as much as he was comforting her. I imagine him promising, "Everything's gonna be all right. No matter what people are saying, you're God's daughter, holy and blessed, and no ugly word can take that from you." Now, truth be told, Mary is formidable, fierce even. Yet the couple was surely navigating a world that still seeks to silence the least and the last. And I hear her saying to Joseph, "This child in my belly, this Emmanuel, it means that God will be with us from now on in some new and unexpected ways. And if he is for us, Joseph, then who can be against us?" Why, it must have been like prophets and angels singing to hear the couple speak this way and to witness Mary's courage and boldness and grit. That couple's yes shows us that God is always being born in unlikely places, on the sidelines, in the margins, out of bounds. The Hebrew people expected the birth of a mighty Savior from the royal line of David. Like all of us, some of the time, and some of us all the time, they were looking for answers in the shiny center of things, of power and position and privilege. But Jesus is born outside of all of that, to an unwed teenage mother in a Bethlehem barn. Now think about that. Think about that, to an unwed teenager in a Bethlehem barn. If we can separate it from the wonderful glow that surrounds her this evening and let the truth of that encounter us, then we begin to have some sense of the miracle of this night, a sense of her courage, her incredible boldness, her grace, and her grit. Christmas sets the center on the edge of town, the outhouse of the inn, the fringe of empire, far from privilege and power. On the edge and outer spin of turning worlds, a margin of small stars that edge a galaxy itself, light years from some unguessed at cosmic origin. Christmas sets the center at the edge. And from this day, our world is realigned. A tiny seed unfolding in the womb becomes the source from which we all unfold and flower into being. We're healed. The end begins. The tomb becomes a womb. For now in him all things are realigned. So I wonder how long it took. Not the birth or the gestation period. I figure Mary carried Jesus the full 9 months, don't you think? And there was a fairly typical delivery, except for that location. Now, that was hard. What I'm thinking about is how many times it took for God's messenger to ask before a person ever said yes. It's not an idle question. Annunciations happen often. Invitations are issued all the time, but acceptances are rare. Through a variety of voices around us and inside us, God consistently says, "You are blessed. You're favored. You're my beloved, my servant, my hands and heart and hope in the world. Will you bear my promise? Will you take me with you? Will you carry good news to the places of overwhelming darkness?" Deep inside each one of us is the light of the world, the stirring of new life and possibilities, our hope for years to come. Do you believe it? Say yes. And yet, yes. There's a Christian among us. And yet, because more times than not, the opportunity to be the light of Christ comes unbidden to us, or it comes in a challenging or fearsome way, so we often say no. How often have we closed our hearts to the opponent that we don't want to respect? How often have we closed our hearts to the enemy that we don't want to love? How often have we closed our hearts to the poor that we wish were not with us? Does it surprise you that the place which resembles an outcast, worried teenager is where God is asking to be born? If we go into the depths within where we feel most unlikely, most lost, most scared, most judged, most poor, the parts of our city or our families or ourselves that are most accustomed to neglect or violence, the parts of us that are most likely to be discounted or dismissed, and if we will hear there, "Hail, favored one, I love you," well, then the miracle of Christmas can really begin. C.S. Lewis writes, "He will make the feeblest and the filthiest of us into a god or goddess, a dazzling, radiant, immortal creature pulsating all through with such energy and joy and wisdom and love as we cannot imagine, a bright, stainless mirror which reflects back to God perfectly God's own boundless power and delight and goodness." No wonder on this night, even the non-singers among us, and I heard some of you, No wonder on this night even the non-singers among us warble some carol of praise. Glory to God in the highest, we say. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Because after tonight, nothing is ever the same again. If holiness and the awful power and majesty of God were present in this least auspicious of all events, this birth of a peasant child, then there is no place or time so lowly and earthbound but that holiness can be there too. And this means that there's no place where we can hide from God, no place where we're safe from his power to break into and recreate the human heart, because it's just where God seems most helpless that the Spirit is most strong, and just where we least expect him that God comes most fully. And this birth means that God is never safe from us either. And maybe that's the most difficult side of Christmas, the cutting edge of every gift that's freely given, the kind with no strings attached. You see, by coming in this most vulnerable way, God shows us that we can always turn him down. We can refuse the messenger or nail him up if he makes us mad later on. By coming through this story of birth, God comes to us in the hungry people that we tell ourselves we don't have to feed. In this story of birth, God comes to us in the lonely people that we may not choose to comfort. In all the desperate human need of people everywhere that we are always free to ignore, if that's how we decide to roll with it. Coming in this way means that God has put himself and his people at our mercy, because that's the way love works. It's just that free. But this love also means that we can say yes. Power realigned and reimagined in this way means that every birth is holy. The dust of every Eve and every Adam is formed from the same stuff of the stars. The humblest child's veins course with God's royal blood. We can say yes. Our scruffy straw can shine like gold. Tonight, a stable, it harbors heaven, and all that was laid low will have its rising, because we can say yes. Won't you say it? Yes. They sought to soar into the skies, those classic gods of high renown, for lofty pride aspires to rise, but you came down. You dropped down from the mountain sheer, forsook the eagle for the dove. The other gods demanded fear, but you gave love. They towered above our mortal plane, dismissed this restless flesh with scorn, aloof from birth and death and pain. But you were born. On this night, heaven and earth are joined. And love is born, and God has come home. Amen.